When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi folks, be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
Well, right now, we're going to talk to a gentleman that was explaining showering habits over in the country of Africa. Good morning. Oh, my goodness. How are you, my friend?
Sunshine out there. It's looking nice.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were really hit with some cold temperatures.
Oh, yeah. I drove out here on slick, snow-covered roads.
I remember that. And yeah, we were really concerned about an early fall and not having any Indian summer. Oh, my goodness sakes.
It's nice.
I mean, with 55 to 60 degree weather, and we're looking at over 60 today and maybe through the weekend. I love it.
I do too. I do.
What's going on in your historical world?
Today, you know, when you think about lost mines, for example, the Lost Dutchman mine.
Yep, that comes to mind first and foremost.
Almost every time you hear about the curses of these mines, that people go looking for them, they end up dead or disappearing or just plain, you never hear from them again.
Yeah.
So, geographically, we're going to talk about the curse of the Lost Creek mine, which is, if you go look on a map at Vancouver, British Columbia. Not too far to the east of Vancouver is an area called the Pitt River area, which leads into a place called Pitt Lake. Anyway, so geographically, that's where we're at. So, you know, legend has it that only one of Indian blood will ever find the Pitt River gold. Okay, you have to, if you're not an Indian, but there was a lot of people that tried to defy the taboo and the danger of going after this gold.
Where was it and when was it? I mean, what time of our country was it?
Let's see.
Back in 18-something?
Yeah, late 1800s.
I see.
Somewhere in there.
Okay.
So I want to picture this. Okay, there's an old man. He's climbing up onto the gallows slowly.
On the gallows?
Yeah, we're going right straight to the gallows.
Holy smokes. Don't say it like that with such an affirmative statement.
His white hair is kind of messed up by the little light morning breeze. Moments later, the trap was sprung, and so died Peter Slumack.
Slumack.
Slumack, convicted murderer and key to a supposed $100 million in gold.
Holy smokes, tell me more.
I'm going to. Stories told of this fortune include nuggets the size of walnuts, a suspected 12 murders, one hanging, and 23 known disappearances. The legend has grown so over the years that it is, as usual, difficult to distinguish truth from fiction.
Okay, well, so, let's start at the basics. Was there a guy like this? What was his name again?
It's Peter Slumack.
Slumack.
So I'll tell you the stuff that we know.
Oh, okay.
And then the rest you're just going to have to fill in.
Oh, okay.
So this is what we know. Peter Slumack was a Salish Indian, and I hope I'm saying that right. Salish Indian discovered a vast hoard of incredibly rich ore somewhere in what they call the Pitt River country of British Columbia. Now, since then, five others have known the secret and all died in some pretty tragic situations.
They knew where the mine was.
Yeah. but they all died.
And they died.
Now, the mine is thought to be about 20 miles north of what they call the Pitt River, which leads into Pitt Lake. And here is some of the roughest country on the continent. High altitudes, sub-zero temperatures, icy crevices, blizzards, glaciers. And these are just a few of the obstacles.
Those are the good travel points.
That's the good place. These are just a few of the obstacles to be encountered. And Pitt Lake is situated between the head of what they call Howe Sound and the north end of Harrison Lake. So again, up there near Vancouver, Washington.
Okay, I got a question, but I'll save it.
Okay, so it's only 45 miles away from Vancouver.
Okay, gotcha.
So not that far.
Yeah.
Now, Slumac first appeared with his newfound wealth in the town of New Westminster, and there followed a spending, drinking party to, you know, just really going at it. And
like your fraternity house in college.
I never had one.
Oh.
Anyway, later he would show up in town, and suddenly he would come back into town, his pockets full of gold nuggets.
All right. Really?
Yeah, gold nuggets. And it says that he would drop his nuggets on the bar as others, almost like somebody else would drop silver coins. He just dropped these gold nuggets on there.
How did he know how much they were worth?
I don't know. I think the bartender probably helped him on that.
Bartenders are good
at
that.
Yeah. Anyway, so when his immediate supply exhausted, he would melt into the wilds until the next time he appeared, once again, pockets full of gold.
Oh, my.
Now, there was a deadly series of coincidences that seemed to plague Slumac.
Oh.
Okay? Every time he trekked into the bush, a local woman, usually an Indian woman, would disappear, never to be seen again alive. Okay? The plot is going to get thicker.
You're making my hair stand up on the back of my neck.
So it was Indian custom to take an Indian woman on journeys into the bush to do the domestic chores, you know, and by making promises of unlimited riches, Slumac didn't have any difficulty recruiting, quote, wives. Mm-hmm. And then on the return trip, he was afraid they would reveal the location of his mine, and it's believed that he murdered them to make sure that they were silent. Now, the police suspected that he killed no less than 9, but they couldn't prove it.
Wouldn't they have a clue to follow this guy, maybe, you know, after one or two?
You would think. Now, on one of his frequent trips to town, the body of a gal by the name of Susan Jesner, who was an attractive Indian gal, Salish Indian, and she was retrieved from the river.
Oh, my.
And in her clothing were pieces of raw gold. Now, the police questioned Slumac, and he admitted that Susan had accompanied him on his last trip. He sorrowfully told of how she had, quote, accidentally fallen from their raft and drowned.
Oh, yeah.
It was an accident.
Well, yeah, it is an accident when you got a 25-pound waiter on your neck or something.
Well, he hadn't thought it warranted reporting to the police. You know, she had drowned and, okay.
He didn't report it?
No. So the authorities, they were suspicious, but they couldn't do anything. Okay, there was no proof. Well, on his last trip to town, another body was taken from the river, and from the back of the body, identified as Molly Tinnan, there was a knife in her back. Now, popular opinion held that the knife was Slumac's and that he was tried and executed for this murder.
Oh, he was executed for that one.
Yeah. But somehow the facts kind of lie buried in history a little bit. Slumac managed to get out of this embarrassing situation. It was shortly afterward that the law caught up with him for the killing of a French-Canadian by the name of Louis B. So he didn't get hung because of his wife. He got hung because he killed a French-Canadian named Louis B. Now, let me tell you about him.
Who's he?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. According to files of the Victoria Daily Colonist, the newspaper, the shooting occurred this way. So B and some Indians were fishing for trout near the Pitt River on the afternoon of September 8th, 1890. Slumac kind of came out from the brush, and he approached the party of these guys that are just fishing. And B, this Louis B, he went forward to meet him. And he said, quote, "Who are you going to kill today?" Kind of in a smart-alecky kind of...
So he knew Slumac.
Yeah, they knew each other. Well, this didn't sit too good with Slumac, and Slumac suspected that B was after more than trout. he claimed,
uh-huh.
and was be so near the site of the mine that Slumac decided he just pulled out a gun and shot him, killed him.
Now, wasn't he with somebody else?
Yeah, there were some other Indians.
And they stood there?
Yeah, but he got arrested on this, and this is why he got hung, because of killing B. So, for a man of Slumac's character, it would have been obvious and instant that this motive would seem to be more plausible, that he was trying to, thinking that B was getting close to his fine.
Let me ask you a question there. There were other witnesses to that murder.
Right.
But they didn't, did they run away? They didn't try to arrest him or take him into custody.
No, he was arrested.
Yeah, but somebody must have turned him in then.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So his luck had run out. There was no escape. At 8 o'clock on the morning of January 16th, 1891, he paid with his life for murdering B. That's when he got hung. Okay. Now, prior to his execution, there were a lot of attempts were made to get out from him where the gold's location was. Well, the doomed man would confide only in his son, who incidentally could hardly wait for the clang of the gallows so that he could rush right out to the precious metal. So Slumac's son wasn't exactly real sad to see his dad.
No, see, right there the story kind of takes an interesting turn because we didn't even know that he was really married, per se, and had a family.
Right. So evidently there were some kids hanging around. So somewhere.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So young
hanging around.
Young Slumac made a few successful trips into the gold. Then he took on a partner.
So he knew where it was.
Yeah, he found it. Well, he took on this partner, and this proved to be fatal. The two headed into the bush. 3 days later, the partner returned with all kinds of nuggets. Young Slumac was never seen again. Okay? He's gone. He's dead somewhere.
You really are, you're creating a web of secrecy here.
Now,
hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
Americans heard the tale and decided to follow this partner.
Oh, look out.
Okay. And they succeeded in doing so. Then they shot him.
Wait a minute, I got to
Okay, now
slow
we got
down. Okay. Slow down, Turner. Okay, they being the two Americans. Two Americans shot the guy that had killed the
Slumac
boy.
Yes.
Okay, I'm with you.
Are you with
all
me
right.
now? Okay. Now,
a whole bunch of
so they are supposed to have buried his body, an axe, a mining hammer, and a pan of nuggets under the tent rock of where he was staying.
Uh-huh.
Now it's recorded in old newspapers that in 1903, an Alaskan prospector named John Jackson emerged from the Pitt River country with $10,000 worth of pure gold.
Pure gold.
Now, he also had a partner, but what happened to his partner cannot be figured out.
Yeah, another partner met his demise.
Somewhere.
Holy
smokes. Maybe he just went home.
Note of caution to all people that want to form a partnership.
Yeah.
Ain't going to work.
Okay, so this Jackson guy, whose partner somehow disappeared, traveled to his home in San Francisco, where he deposited $10,000 of gold in the local branch of the Bank of British North America, and learned that it was to cost him his life.
Okay. Now another guy.
Now this is a little different, though.
Okay.
Doctors told him he was dying. The ordeal he had suffered had broken him. He had bad health. So he was going downhill really fast.
Uh-huh.
Now, here again, the legend kind of gets a little fuzzy. It's said that Jackson, with death looking over his shoulder, made two maps. He gave one to a nurse who was with him in his final hours, mm-hmm. and one to a friend named Shotwell in Seattle. Now, with Shotwell's went a letter of instructions, according to the Indians. Neither he nor the nurse nor Shotwell attempted to find the gold. But they sold their maps, each of them, for $500 apiece to some other people.
Really?
Okay. Now, so there was a landslide reaction that followed prospectors, supposedly, you know, how they always think they have the inside track to how to find the gold. They packed in that whole area trying to find this gold. Well, this precipitated the known disappearances of 23 men.
23 people?
Yeah, that went in.
Disappeared.
And never came
trying
out.
To find the mine.
Right. Now, many others are likely to have gone in the bush unreported and also never returned. But think about this. As I mentioned earlier, starvation, freezing temperatures, and inexperience. A lot of these guys, they didn't know how to handle themselves out in the wild.
So they just went into an area.
Yeah, that was rough.
And tried to find a mine.
Right. Yeah. Well, periodically, strangers would turn up in town with a map and two maps supposedly to lead to the gold ore in existence in Vancouver today, but the Lost Creek mine remains unclaimed, still not found.
Today.
Yeah. Now, one of the most colorful of the characters to succumb to the gold bug was a guy named A.R., quote, Volcanic Brown. That was his nickname, for some reason,
I just want to leave that alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was known to have made four trips to the headwaters of the Pitt River between the years 1932 and 1938. So not
that's when you were born.
Not quite.
Oh. Yet.
On the third trip out, his toes were frozen, and to prevent gangrene from setting in, he cut them off with his pocket knife.
Oh.
So that was, now when you want to talk about tough guys, Volcanic Brown.
One little piggy went to town.
And only four came home. But, you know, here's the thing, Zeb. He always brought out gold, but he never filed a claim. Now, the fourth trip was his last. He was added to the list.
He didn't have any toes.
He didn't, and he ended up missing. Well, a search party sent in after him came upon the remains of his camp, and buried under the snow were his few effects, including a shotgun, a small jar with a little bit of gold on it, but a Volcanic himself, there was nothing. So Slumac's curse had claimed another guy.
How many people is this so far?
I don't know, about around 30 or so, or more. Now, today, the search goes on.
Even today?
Yeah. Yeah, it's still out there.
And they think they know the general area.
Right. Yeah. Now, a newspaper man in Westminster, his name was McClellan. He was a city editor of the paper called the British Columbia. And he says the site of the mine was shown him by a friend. Now, get this, Zeb. A friend of his, Wally Lund, who had the location revealed to him in a dream.
Okay. I'd be a little concerned as to whether or not I should follow that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the common belief is that the gold is about 20 miles to the north of the Pitt River. Now, this Mr. McClellan feels that B, the guy that Slumac shot originally.
Don't go back and try to retrace all this.
Was killed because he was too close to the secret. Well, the site of the supposed mine is a cavern. The area is swampy. The cavern supposedly is on top of a 400-foot rock named Sheridan Hill. They've narrowed it down, they think. But again, this is just hearsay.
Hasn't anybody today really organized a search party?
I don't think so. It's rough country. I don't, you know. But it's believed to have been this cavern, like it must have been bored out by volcanic activity or whatever. So it was some kind of a cave-type thing that... Now, here's another thing they think, that Slumac, the Indian, had...
The guy that got hung.
Right. Okay. He had to have help in getting the gold out because it was kind of down into a cavern or a tunnel or a cave. So he would take these wives, and he would lower them down into the where the gold was.
Oh, really?
And they would bring it back up.
Oh,
and
so maybe that's where he buried them.
Well, who knows? Yeah. But evidently, the women never made it out. And again, that's just conjecture. But so now at this moment...
How would you like to be a wife at the bottom of that great big pit, and you got to use a rope to haul it up with a bucket, and you go, honey, pull it away. Honey, honey!
Where did you go? Okay, so now this comes from True West magazine. 1963.
Yeah.
So here's what it says at the end of the story. It says, at this moment, at least two men are actively seeking the mine. The promise of $100 million will lure more adventurers into the Pitt River Mountains. It is Indian legend that only he of Indian blood will claim Slumach's gold, but regardless of race, people will try to find it.
Didn't everybody ever think about maybe not two going in, but maybe take about eight or ten so you got somebody to watch your back?
You know...
Come on.
But then again, you got to split that up with more guys, Seb.
Well, splitting up a fortune is a lot better than staying with the fortune.
And being dead.
Dead. That's unbelievable. And today they still can't find it.
No. I mean, this has been 1963, so 50-some years ago.
So you would think with all the technology today and all the GPS and all that kind of stuff that they could kind of pinpoint where this is.
But a month or so ago, I told a story about a mine that when they went back, avalanche had covered it over.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So, you know, with these mountains, I mean, landslides, avalanches, to where it may never be found. That, to me, makes more sense. That with all the people who have gone in there, and maybe, like I said, the 23 that went in never came out. Maybe some of them found it but never made it out.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
right here in our United States.
Well, no, British Columbia.
Well, British Columbia. Well, it's a neighbor.
It is.
Okay.
A good neighbor, yes.
Yeah.
So that's the story.
You know, I bet you there's a lot more stories like that.
I bought a magazine that's full of lost treasure stories.
Really?
And I will slowly bring those out every once in a while.
You know, and then, you know, like the old pirate ships, you know, and they all the doubloons and everything in the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, that's fascinating. See, what are those two islands off down in off Texas?
Know,
the two islands, can't recall, but they have found buried treasure from ships that sunk and somehow got washed up onto those islands. I can't remember the name of those islands.
All of a sudden, my goodness, my mind's gone. I know the islands you're referring to, But you know, really, when you talk about history, and we mentioned this, and I've got about a minute left here, history is so... What do I want to say? What's a good word? Because we're taking it as fact when really...
It's still vague.
It's very vague.
Yeah.
Very vague.
I mean, to say, okay, it's over there near the Pitt River.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite a big area.
You know, 20, 30 miles in a circle around that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of territory.
You know, when we had, what was the gentleman's name from back in Missouri? We talked about the Little Bighorn. That hurts too because we had that all memorized. We got to think about considering going back there next summer and doing the program from the battlefield.
Oh, yeah. That would be
That's
wonderful.
Something that our audience needs to know that we're considering.
Lance
Durrell.
Durrell,
and we were thinking about going back there. He's going to help set us up and doing a program called Into the Station from the Little Bighorn Battlefield.
Right, and hopefully interviewing some of those people, their ancestors.
The descendants.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. The chiefs and all that,
That'd be wonderful.
Absolutely. It's quite a deal. I guess it's quite a gathering.
Yeah. And he said he might could get us some horses, so I'm going to take my saddle.
Absolutely. It's going to be, I think, one of the most interesting things. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, and we'll get a phone line, and we'll plug in and do the program from right there.
That'll be wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You did it again, Dr. History, and by the way, he's leaving right now to go to Vancouver, and he's got a shovel in his back, and he's ready to go.
Goodbye.
Yeah, see you later, buddy. Thank you.